Amen and amen. What you see going on up here is a setting of the atmosphere. An atmosphere is important. It's important for anything and everything in the kingdom of God. The atmosphere needs to be right. Amen? And we're going to teach you that. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and the prayer of faith. Remember Sunday's message, faith, healing, and miracles. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When you're in touch with God, you can call down rain and you can stop rain. When you're in touch with God, if you need a miracle, God will come through for you. So before we can even get you to a place of healing, we've got to get the atmosphere right, and we've got to get you right. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing I need to give you is the recipe for your healing. The recipe for your healing. As I told you on Sunday, if you were here, that God gives us a measure of faith. It talks about the prayer of faith. And I taught you Sunday that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, that faith is believing in that which you can't see. And we talked about the reticular activating system, which is how you train your mind to believe and see certain things. So if you're going to be healed tonight, emotionally, physically, spiritually, if you're going to stand in for someone that needs healing, first thing that has to happen is you have to activate your measure of faith. If you're in sin, you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. You need to say, God, forgive me. I love you. I welcome you into my life. But if you are already saved, but you don't have faith that God can and will do what his word says he will do, then we've got to activate that faith for you tonight. Amen? So why don't we do this? Why don't we just bow our heads for just a moment? And why don't you make sure that everything is right in your life with Jesus? If you've slipped up today, if you've sinned, confess your sins one to another. Maybe you don't feel close enough with the person sitting to your right or your left to confess to them, but confess to God and ask God to forgive you. If there's anything in your life hindering your healing, go ahead and ask God to cleanse you of that and forgive you of that. And as you're praying and as you're in intercession, let me say to you that not only do you need to activate the measure of your faith, you need to exercise your gift according to your faith. Paul would say, through grace that has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought. So we all are in need of forgiveness tonight. We are all in need of a touch from God tonight. So activate that gift. And as you're activating that gift, you just can remain in a state of prayer and intercession. This message, I'm not here to preach to you tonight. I'm here to release. And so as you're in a state of intercession, let me tell you what God's about to do. He's already forgiven you. That's the good news. But now you're being made righteous by faith. That means God is putting you in right position with God. You're being put into alignment into his kingdom. So you are putting yourself in a right position with his son. That is happening for you right now, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. You're being put in a right position where you can receive. And the next thing that you're going to see happen in the next few weeks is you're going to have an easier time being obedient to the things of God than you've ever had before. Isn't that good news? I know many of you are tired of dealing with the same sins and dealing with the same struggles, and you do good for a few days, and then you slip up, and then you do bad. Listen, I started a diet this week, and I'm ready to eat 90 munchkins. So I completely understand. And if you ever want to just see how the flesh works, I mean, try this keto diet. My goodness, I didn't realize how addicted to sugar I was. And our flesh always wants the things that aren't good for it. So that has to be broken spiritually by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be made righteous, and you're going to learn to live in obedience to the kingdom of God. The next thing that will happen for you as you're in a place of intercession is you're going to learn the importance of church, the value of being connected to the household of faith. I value each and every person in this room because you're my sheep, or you're going to be, but also because you made your way out in a storm. When many churches canceled, you came, and you came because you have an expectation that God's going to move and that God's going to do something for you and for others. We need that expectation every time we come together as the household of faith. We can also experience the joy of faith. This faith's going to bring you a new level of joy that you've never received before. It's going to teach you to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And you can do that with your shield, and you can do that with your breastplate, but God's going to teach you to fight because you've been getting whipped by the enemy year after year after year after year, but now God is showing you and teaching you in the Spirit how to win the war, how to win the battle. And it's not in your flesh, it's through the Spirit. Not by my might, by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. God is teaching you to fight. And you're going to learn to be full to the overflow of faith, like Stephen was when he was martyred. You're going to have that kind of faith, and that's the kind of faith you need if you're ever going to see a miracle in this lifetime. You've got to have faith to believe it. You hear things by faith. You see things by faith. Listen to what Paul says. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So not only does your mouth need to be anointed, your ears need to be anointed so that you can hear when God's trying to speak to you. Many times people come to church and they hear a message, they hear an illustration, and it moves them. And we don't always listen with our spiritual ears to the message. We don't always look with our spiritual eyes at what God's doing in the supernatural on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights, because we're human beings. We want to rate the celebration, if I may, or the show. But God is trying to speak to you. This is not, well, that was a good message by brother so-and-so. That was a good song by sister so-and-so. No. What did God do for you and to you when that was going on? Because if you leave church and you didn't get a word for you, then you've missed it. If you didn't get caught up in worship and God started to speak to you, then you haven't worshiped. Because we're not here to be spectators. We can live securely by enjoying the assurance of our faith. You're never going to have the assurance that God wants you to have if you walk around guilty and condemned all the time. So draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of the faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, verse 22. And we have to learn, and here we're back in James, to pray the prayer of faith. And it says in our text that this prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise you up, and if you've committed sins, you'll be forgiven. So that's the recipe, the laying on of hands. What is the roadmap? What are strategic points along the journey that God wants to show you for you to be healed? The first thing we've already experienced, and we're going to go back into this, is an atmosphere. The atmosphere has to be right. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't believe in healing, you're going to affect what God's going to do for somebody. Because we need total agreement that the Holy Spirit can heal and will heal. We need agreement in the house. And that's why it said, is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing songs. Prayer speaks to the suffering. This is important. We need to understand that it is important where we go to church, who we are friends with, who we pray with, and how we function and operate together. You have to believe that God can do it, that he can do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. we believe with all of our hearts that God can move. If you believe that God can move tonight, just say yes. The anointing oil. James is not trying to invent a magic potion. He was a Jew. He was speaking to Jewish Christians. Somewhere between Acts 8 and Acts 17 is when this was written. And he was trying to teach them how to be the church, how to set the atmosphere, what to do. So he brought back something from the old covenant into the new covenant. And he said, this still has value. It represents the unction of the Holy Spirit. Oil is not magic, but it does represent the anointing of God, just like baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit coming on you and doing a great work. So when we anoint you in just a moment, you need to understand that we're not just doing that as some kind of ritual. We're doing that because we believe the Holy Spirit is coming on you to do a great work. It says that God will answer immediately. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. It will happen. It will happen. Everybody say, it will happen. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you need a miracle, if you need a touch, if you're praying for a child, a grandchild. One lady came up to me and she said, do you remember what your father said during the invitation on Sunday? And I said, yeah. She said he was praying for a child that would be healed, and she claimed that promise for her grandson. Amen. She claimed that, and she's already seeing fruit of that healing. Let's give God praise and glory for that. God's doing things. So we move from the recipe and the roadmap to the release, and that's what I want to get into. I want to get into the ministry tonight. The release of healing. God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. God can and will touch you. I don't know why he called me to do this tonight, but he did. And we're going to do what the Bible says. I believe there's a release of healing about to take place, a release of forgiveness, a release of hurt and anger and bitterness. I believe God's about to get rid of all of it. Amen. I believe we're about to see a release like never before.